And the reason you love your country is because you love God. And I believe it sort of goes together. And God's been good to our country. And God's blessings have been upon us down through the centuries. And these days in which we're in are troublesome days, but I know my God's able to deliver if He so chooses. And may we not look to our own strength, look to our own armaments and goods, but may we look to God. He's the deliverer. He's the only one that can do that. I appreciate that singing. Right this morning, if you would take your Bibles once again to the book of Ruth. Last Sunday, we began a series of messages in the book of Ruth in the Old Testament. We're not trying to get into a lot of depth. If you really took a in-depth study of the book of Ruth, you'd have a series of messages that run from now till whenever. We're just trying to touch maybe the high points, get an overall view or an overview of this book. And this morning we have the second message, and probably we'll have, I know, at least one more, maybe two more messages in this book. This morning in Ruth chapter number 2. Last Sunday we read a portion of chapter 1 and first two verses of chapter 2. This morning we want to begin in chapter number 2, verse number 3. And we've entitled the series, Redemption by Love. And we noted last week how that we have the message of a real love message here given to us in type of how the Lord loves you and I, and how He purchased us and how He has purchased His church. We find that this is the romance of a redemption that comes from God. Not from man to woman or woman to man, but the redemption that comes from God to mankind. And so we have redemption by the love, by the grace of God. Let's begin reading in verse number 3, and we'll read down through a few verses here in Ruth chapter number 2. It says, "And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was the kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, and said to the reapers, The Lord be with you. And they answered him, The Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servants that was over the reapers, Whose damsel is this?" We can stop there and preach a message on that one question. Whose damsel is this? And we find his speaking of Ruth. And of course she was one that came from nothing, came out of a land of idolatry, came from Moab, came from where God was not known. And now she is there in the land of Israel and the land of Judah in the area of Bethlehem. And he comes and he sees and asks the question, "Whose damsel is this?" Verse number 6, "And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, It is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you let me go together after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now, that she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field. Neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Then let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. And have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. And she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done to with thy mother-in-law since the death of thy husband, how thou hast left thy father and thy mother, the land of thy nativity, and art come to a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Then she said, Let me find favor in thy sight, my lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for thou hast spoken friendly unto thy handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thy handmaids. And Boaz said unto her, At mealtime come thou hither and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and was sufficed and left. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, Let her gleam even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them and rebuke her not. So she gleaned in the field until even. I really don't know what verse to use as a text this morning. I read these verses and joy comes in my heart to realize that this is a perfect picture and a type of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How that we were in the field of this world, not having a desire, not having need. We were just like Ruth was. We came from nothing. Out of a land of idolatry, out of a land of degradation, out of a land of sin, and God not known in our heart and in our lives, God not being even recognized. And there we find that the Lord says, "Who is this?" And I'm glad, thank God, we come to know Him in a personal way. Verse number 10, I really think this will be our text this morning as far as the verse is concerned, and the question is asked, "Why have I found grace in thine eyes?" This morning we need to ask that same question to ourselves. Why have I found grace in thine eyes? We noted last week the freeness of God's grace, how that it was sought out and how that she came from the land of Moab and to the land of Bethlehem, Judah. That grace was sought and was freely given to her, and Naomi let her go with her back to her own land. We noted how that there was a desperate need in that area. They needed to come back to Bethlehem. And how they had a deliverer. And the Bible says there that they had a near kinsman and his name was Boaz. And we're going to find here in just a little while that he will be the deliverer of Ruth. He'll be the kinsman redeemer as Jesus Christ is to us. We learned last week that a kinsman redeemer, it was one that first of all had to have the right to redeem. Had to be in the right lineage, the right family. We find that not only that, but they had to have the power to redeem. Had to have the ability to redeem that one unto himself. And then thank God had to have the willingness to redeem. And our Savior fits every one of those. Jesus Christ was willing to redeem you and I that came out of a land of Moab, a land of desolation, a land of sin. And He was able and willing to redeem us from that land. We have here the great love story between God and man that is given to us in John chapter 3, verse 16. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So we noted last week the fullness of grace, the freeness of grace. This morning we're going to see the fullness of grace, how that is given so fully, so completely to this damsel that was there in the field. She was a recipient of God's grace, and I'm glad this morning that I have been a recipient of the grace of God, that I have received the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. If you're here today and you're not saved, if you're lost, I'm glad I can declare to you that our near kinsman, Jesus Christ, He's willing, He's able, He has the power, He has the willingness to redeem us out of a world of sin, out of a land that is of no good and of no prosperity to you and I, and we can be a recipient of the grace of God, just like Ruth was a recipient of Boaz's loving kindness and concern for her. The fullness of God's grace. We can come to Him just as we are. We don't have to turn over a new leaf. We don't have to try to clean up. I hear some people preach and they almost preach like you have to clean up your life before the Lord will take you. But I'm glad God will take you just like you are, as a sinner outside of the fold of God, outside of the grace of God. And He'll take you and He'll make you, He'll mold you and make you into something of a vessel that can be used of God. One that can be a blessing to other people. One that was once in sin going to hell, now can have his feet planted upon the solid rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, with a place before us called heaven. And so we find here that He can supply, and He does supply every need of the child of God. And so this morning, I want us to think about the fullness of God's grace. First of all, I want us to think about the provision of God's grace. You'll find in these verses in which we read, and we'll be looking at them in just a moment, you'll find there's five provisions that Boaz made to Ruth. And of course, we learned last week that five is the number of grace. And we find that here Boaz gave to Ruth five things that would help her in her life. Oh, thank God this morning we have the wealth of God's love. We have the wealth of God's grace given to us that we can freely take of it and be taken of it in our life and our heart. and go out and do the work of God and go out and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. The provisions of the Lord. The provisions of God. I find in the book of Exodus, we find in chapter number 28, verses 4 and 5, you'll find that the priest had six garments that he had. And of course, six is the number of man. And every one of those garments, there's five things about that of grace. Oh, thank God this morning, you and I that are kings and priests unto God, we are nothing more than men. But oh, thank God, we have the grace of the Lord that's been given to us, that we can do the work of God. We can go to heaven. We can live and serve God in this life and in this time today. And we can be a recipient of God's grace and can shed it abroad to people as they will hear and as they will listen. And so we find, first of all, that the protection that He gave her, this is one of the provisions that God gives to you and I. God gives to us protection this morning. If He didn't protect us, we'd already be in eternity. If He didn't protect us, there'd be turmoil in our life and trouble in our life and tragedy there. But I'm glad my God protects me and He helps me get through in this life. Look in verse number 9 and verse the second part of verse number 9, it says, "Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee?" Now, Boaz was saying to Ruth, he said, "You can go and glean in the fields, and I've already told the men there that they're not to bother you." There's the protection that Boaz gave to Ruth. And I'm glad this morning that you and I, we have the protective hand of God. We're safe in the field in which God gives us to work and God gives us to labor. We have the protection, the safety, the security of God upon you and I. Just as we prayed this morning for Brother Solomon Olabi there in Nigeria, I'm glad God's able to protect him and God's able to deliver him. And just as I think of Brother Raymond Sorrells there in New Guinea that's undergoing trials and testing from some wicked people around him, I'm glad God's able to deliver that man. And just as He's able to deliver him, He'll deliver you and you and you and myself, because we have God's grace of protection to us, that He oversees us, He looks upon us. So we find as a believer we are safe. The Bible says, turn if you would with me, you may not have to, you may, you'll know what I'm reading, John chapter number 10, verse number 27, we find, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them. They follow Me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand. My Father which gave them Me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of My Father's hand. I and My Father are one." Here we find, we see God's security, God's protection, God's safety upon the child of God, the believer. We find in church history, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 16, verse number 18, He says, "Upon this rock I will build My church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." I'm glad as a church of God, I'm glad as a child of God, we have God's promise of His protection that we will survive. You say, "Well, what if we don't survive?" We're going to survive in eternity. That's what I'm talking about. We're going to have a home in heaven, eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have the protection that God gave unto us, just as Boaz gave unto Ruth. Not only did He give her protection, but in the latter part of that same verse, verse number 9, he gives her drink. Look in verse number 9 again. It says, "And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn." I'm glad this morning that we can drink of the water of life freely. And I'm glad I can continually have that drink. I'm glad I can continually have the blessing of the Lord. John chapter 4, there that woman at the well, she said she went there because she was thirsty. And she left her water pot. Why? Because she had the water of life springing in her soul. And she knew Jesus Christ, who He was. Why? She had thirsted one day, and now she had come and had that quenched. And here we find Boaz tells to Ruth, he said, "I'll give you a drink. I'll give you something to drink. You just provided for you. You don't even have to draw it. It's there for you." I'm glad this morning, my salvation, I don't have to draw it. I don't have to get it. I'm glad it's already there, prepared, waiting for the person that will come. Not only does He give protection, not only does He give drink, but He gives food and provision of life. Look at verse number 14. "And Boaz said unto her, At milk time come thou hither and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn. And she did eat, and was sufficed, and left." Now there's enough in that one verse right there to keep us the rest of the day. We find here that Boaz tells her, he said, "I'll take care of your protection. I'll take care of you, the need there in the field. When you get thirsty, there's something there to drink. And then when you get hungry, thank God, there's something for you to eat." And you'll notice here that he gave her corn. The Bible says parched corn. Here we find that she took of that and she was satisfied or sufficed. She was satisfied. Now I'm here to tell you this morning, when you take of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to be satisfied. You're going to have satisfaction in your soul. You're going to have the satisfaction of heart and mind and knowing that you have an eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ, that you're not going to hell, that you are going out to heaven. Here we find that if you'll read in your Bible and look into a lot of scriptures, you'll find that corn is always a representative substance of the Lord Jesus Christ. When corn was ground, it became meal, and they had a meal offering that represented the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Parched corn represented the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in the New Testament, except a grain of corn fall into the ground and die, it'll not do any good. Here we see the resurrection, that Jesus came forth out of the grave one day, and just as he did, one day we shall. We've been born again. And so we find that he gave unto her provision. He gave to her food. Now I like where it says, and she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn. She took it out of his hand. She didn't take it out of a bowl. She didn't take it off the table. She took it from the very hand of Boaz. And we have our salvation this morning from the very hand of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he has given to us, that he outstretched his hands one day there upon the cross of Calvary, died upon the cruel, rugged cross that I might have life. And he's reached it to me by his grace. We have redemption this morning by the love of God. We have redemption today by the grace of God. We have redemption because he reached it to us. It was offered to us. It's there. And all we have to do is to receive him as our personal Savior. Not only did he have food, but we find provision there in verse number 16. He took care of her immediate needs of hunger. But he says there in verse number 16, and let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them that she may glean them and rebuke her not. Not only did she have what she needed right then, but she was gathering in the field. She was a reaper in the field, and she was out there trying to gather just to get enough to get by for her and Naomi. And Boaz, in his grace and his mercy, he said to the reaper, said, you just leave some on purpose. Just leave some so she can have it for later. Now, I'm glad, thank God, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ never does run out. There's always abundance of grace. There's always sufficient grace of the Lord Jesus Christ to you and I, to those of us that are saved. Drop handfuls of purpose. Oh, may we look at that verse and see God saying, I'll drop it just because I desire to drop it. I'll take it and I'll put it on the four corners of the field, and I'll place it there. Every direction you go, you'll find the grace of God. You, as a child of God, we cannot get away from God's grace. If you're here this morning and you're lost, you're not saved, you cannot escape the grace of God, because it's there dropped just on purpose for you to see and for you to receive unto yourself. And you are, if you do not take it, if you do not receive, then you'll kick it aside. You'll step over it. It's like trampling underfoot the blood of Jesus Christ because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We find here the gospel of God. I found this morning in Romans chapter number 1. It says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. I'm glad this morning we that are saved, we've been called, we've been separated to a gospel that is not another gospel, because there is no other gospel, but we have been separated to this book right here, the gospel of God, that the prophets gave, that we have proclaimed to us by the scriptures. We have the promises of that. We have the person of the gospel there in verse number 3 concerning his son, Jesus Christ. Romans 1:3 says this gospel is about his son. It's not about somebody else. It's not about some action, but it's about the blessed son of God, Jesus Christ. And we are have been made manifest. These things have been given to us, and we are recipients of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have his person. We see his power. We have the promises of God upon our life, that one day we shall go and be with him forever and forever. So we have handfuls of purpose. The gospel of God. I thought about the gospel of grace. Oh, the grace of God this morning that passes all understanding. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Oh, we were once blind and in sin, but oh, thank God, he's made us a new creature in Christ. And now we can see, now we can hear, now we can go, now we can walk because of the provision, the peace, the safety that God's given to us, just as Boaz gave unto Ruth. We have the gospel of the grace of God. We have the gospel of God. And one day we'll see the gospel of glory, that we shall be with him forever and forever. In verse number 13, you'll find that Boaz offered to her, and she says that he had given her comfort. I don't know about you this morning, but there's been times that nobody, nothing could help me except God, and to comfort my heart and my soul. And here Boaz, Ruth says to Boaz in verse number 13, she said, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for thou hast comforted me. And I find in the New Testament that Jesus Christ is the first comforter. And he says, when I go away, I'll send you another comforter. And that is the blessed Holy Spirit that lives within you and I. We have here the promise of the Spirit of God that lives within the child of God. Comfort and kindness out to the Lord. And she says, why have I found grace in thy sight? There's the question that ought to come to us when we see these things. Why have we found grace? Why have we found and had this grace that's given to us? Verse 14, she has fellowship. Mealtime, they come together, they eat. They eat together, they have the fellowship of the people. So there we find the provision of God's grace. You can't outdo it. You can't go. You can keep going and going and going, and you'll not find the end of God's provisions. Just as she found no end to Boaz and his provisions that were given to her. Verse number 10, she says, why? Why have I found? There's the pondering of the grace of God. Have you ever wondered why, what God saw in you? You ever just took a few moments and said, wonder why God saw fit to save me? Have you ever sat down and wondered why you were born in America instead of Nigeria, Africa? Have you ever wondered why you're born in America and you have the opportunity to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ? The Spirit of God come to you when He did not have to come to you. God doesn't have to come to us. What did God see in me? God saw nothing but a sinner. But He saw that He had love for the sinner. You ever wonder why you wasn't born in some other country? You know, we could be under... I heard yesterday that some of they's dropping leaflets out of airplanes to the troops there, the Iraqi troops, and some of them brought those leaflets back. 13 and 14-year-old boys carrying a gun and in the army of Hussein. Thank God this morning, we're in America, and we don't have to suffer those things. Why have we found grace? What's in it that for us, that why has God saw fit to do it? Just simply because He loves us. That's all I can say. That's all I can give you, because by the grace of God, by the mercy of God, by the loving kindness, the tender mercy of God, He has permitted us to hear this message, and we ponder that. We wonder about it. We look at it. Who am I that a king would come, the song says. Who am I that He'd come and speak to me? Who are we this morning? Nothing more than, just like Ruth, nothing more than a recipient of God's grace. Freely offered, freely given, freely received. The fullness of God's grace. It's amazement that God would love us. It's an amazing thing. It's something that we could go home and ponder the rest of the day and tomorrow and the rest of our life. Why have I found grace in thy sight? Why would God look down upon me? I had nothing to offer Him. We stated this morning in our Sunday school that we can't give money because He owns it anyway. We can't give finances. We can't give goods that we have because God owns it all. All I can give as a child of the King is my praise and my honor to Him. Say, why have I found grace? What makes me better than somebody else? Nothing makes us better. Oh, but thank God for His grace. Are we any better than those in Brazil that have never heard the gospel? Are we any better than those in Mexico where Brother McCoy preaches, and those back in those backwood tribes that have never seen a white man, never heard the gospel? Are we any better than those folks? No, 1,000 times no. Are we any better than those people that have their eyes slanted and are short and they live in the Oriental country? Are we any better than those? No. No, we're no different. We're no better. Are we any better than the black man, the yellow man, the red man? Are we any different? Are we any better? No, but the only difference is, but by the grace of God. God in His mercy, God in His grace has given us, and we need to wonder about that. The provision of grace is God's wealth. The pondering of God's grace is the wonder of why God would look on me. Why would God look to me? Why would He pick on me and say, you can be saved, I'll freely give it to you? I don't understand that, but I'm so thankful this morning. And I've been a recipient of the grace of God. Then thirdly, we see the promises of grace in verse number 12. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Verse number 12. Here we see the promises of God's grace. The Bible says here a full reward. Boaz said a full reward is going to be given you, Ruth. You can turn over to the New Testament in Corinthians, you'll find a full reward is going to be given us. We're going to be rewarded for those things done in our body. The Bible says here that it says, full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come. I found this old song entitled, Under His Wings. Under His Wings I am safely abiding. Though the night deepened and tempests are wild, still I can trust Him. I know He will keep me. He has redeemed me and I am His child. Amen. Under His wings, what a refuge in sorrow. How the heart yearningly turns to His rest. Often when earth has no balm for my healing, there I find comfort and there I find bliss. Under His wings, oh precious enjoyment, there will I hide till life's trials are o'er. Sheltered, protected, no evil can harm me. Resting in Jesus, I'm safe evermore. And then the chorus says, under His wings, who from His love can sever? Under His wings my soul shall abide, safely abiding forever. Oh, I'm glad this morning I can be under the wings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those are wings of security. Those are wings of safety. Those are swift wings that move and carry us where we need to be. And so we find here that Boaz pronounced to her and gave to her a promise of the mercy, the grace, the safety that was come from the God of Israel. Then we see the privilege of grace in verse number 17. I find the promises of grace in the Word of God. Now we find the privilege of grace. Verse number 17. So she gleaned. You say, what privilege is that? So she gleaned. You say, that sounds like a work to me. Oh, it's a joyous work, isn't it? That sounds like a job that would be hard. Oh, I'm glad there's a walk that is easy with the Lord. It says, so she gleaned. And here we find the privilege of being a child of God. She gleaned in the field unto eventime. Naomi's great question in verse number 19. She said, where hast thou gleaned today? That ought to be a question we could answer. Where have we gleaned today? The Bible tells us that the field is the world, and therefore we'd go to all the world and preach the gospel. We have the privilege today to send forth the gospel story. We have the privilege, I believe it's a privilege, to stand behind a pulpit and to preach what thus saith the Lord. I believe it's a privilege to sit up there in that sound room, make tapes, and send to Africa and tell them the story of Jesus Christ. Brother Solomon told me on the phone Friday morning, he said, preacher, I'm getting requests all the time for Bibles. He said, I'm sending them out. He said, keep doing what you're doing there on the radio. Well, that's a privilege to think about, that God would use someone such as you and I in this church, and the privilege of walking and working for Jesus Christ. Whose field are we gleaning in? Too many Christians are in the wrong field. Too many Christians in the field of the world. Too many Christians outside of the field of God, outside of the pleasant place that God has for them. So we find that Naomi said, where hast thou gleaned today? Where are you walking? Where are you working? The privilege that we have, we've been called by the grace of God. We've been cleansed by the grace of God. We've been consecrated by the grace of God. And then, folks, we've been commissioned by the grace of God to go into all the world, preach the gospel, tell every creature. Tell them that Jesus loves them. Tell them that Jesus saves. There's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. That name, Jesus Christ, is above every name. That name that that men will fall at. That day, one day, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's the message we have. There's the field that we're to walk in. There's the job that we have. There's the responsibility. There's the privilege that we have of the grace of God. Boaz said, Ruth, I'm going to show you grace. And she said, why? And now the reason is for that we tell others. Jesus Christ came to this world that He might die, that we might live, that others might know that they not die, that they live. And in a continual process of doing the same thing. We have a place. We have a position. We have a work. We have a privilege. All these things are given because of grace. The grace of God. Verse number 21. The scripture says here, and Ruth the Moabite said, He said to me, thou shalt keep fast my young men till they have ended all my harvest. Here we find the position of grace. How long is it going to last? How long is the grace of God going to last? I'll tell you how long. From everlasting to everlasting. She goes back and she tells Naomi, she said, this Boaz that you said was a near kinsman, she said, oh, I've never seen anybody like him. He told me, he said to me, thou shalt keep fast by my young men till they have ended all my harvest. Folks, that tells me that we ought to stay fast. I ought to stay true until he's ended his harvest. He's dropped along our way handfuls on purpose. He's given us everything that we have need of. He's given us everything we could ever hope to have. We that are recipients of God's grace, not because of who we are, but because of who He is. Not because we're better than anybody else, but just simply because we have the grace of God given to us. Our position is a never-ending position. The Bible says that we're to occupy until He comes. As I said earlier, I believe Jesus is coming soon. May we be found faithful till He comes. May we be found faithful when He comes. I think of the book of Isaiah, chapter number 6. Here you have the great man Isaiah being called to the work of God. He said, I saw the Lord. And he said, I heard the voice. And this he said, when I heard it, he said, shall I send? And who will go for us? And Isaiah said, here am I, send me. And he said, go and tell this people. And Isaiah in chapter 6, verse number 11, he says, then said I, Lord, how long? How long do I tell? How long do I speak? How long do I do that? And the latter part of verse number 11 says, until the cities are desolate, until it's over with. How long this morning does the grace of God to last on your heart and in my life that we're to tell the world that Jesus Christ saves, we're to tell it until it's over with. No, there's no stopping place. There's no quitting place. I've talked to preachers. They say, well, I don't preach no more. I'm just not going to. If God calls, then we can't quit. I know a preacher right now that pastored a church for years, and now he's out just doing anything he wants to do, not going to church, family broken up, wife gone one way, working in bars. He told me, he said, well, I've just given up on God. I tried to talk to him. He's preached in this pulpit. He said, I've just given up on God. He said, I'm tired of telling people how to do and what to do. You know what his problem is? It's much more than looking at people. It's that he's took his eyes off the Lord. He's forgot where God brought him from. He's forgot that he is a recipient of this that is never to end. He has forgotten that he is to do it until it's over with. He has forgotten where God found him. This morning, how long are we to be a recipient of God's grace? How long are we to work? How long is our position going to be? Same as Isaiah's and same as Ruth. She said, oh, Naomi, he's told me. Said that I was to do that until they ended the harvest. The harvest today is coming up very, very soon. It's going to be over. I believe with all my heart, folks, we're in the last. I believe more now than I believed it a year ago. And I believed it then. But I believe in the last moments of what we call this dispensation of the church. I believe she's about over. One of these days we're going to hear the sound of the trumpet. And we're going to go up hither. And then the harvest will be over. Our part, it'll be over for us. Then we can rest. We don't have rest now. We search for rest, but there's no rest. There's a day coming when we shall rest. But until that day comes, may we be found doing just like Ruth did. And she said, I can be there until the harvest is ended. May we be found faithful until the harvest is emptied. Until it's all over, till it's ended, may we be found faithful as the recipient of God's grace in the fullness of God's grace. Oh, it's free to us. And now it fills us that we tell others about Jesus Christ. That's missions. That's the work of the church. That's the work of the believer. That we be found faithful till the end of harvest. Today, have we been faithful to the Lord? If the Lord was to come, how would He find us? If He is to come to us right now, how would He find your heart? How would He find my heart? May we be found in the position of grace. Knowing Him. And then serving Him, working for Him until He does come. Let's stand this morning. We need to realize that we have been placed under His wings. We need to realize that we have been placed in a position that is not to end. It is to go forward. And we're to serve Him until the end of harvest. May God help us. May God help us this morning to see where we are. Boaz, yes, he was the Redeemer. He's the one who said, drop handfuls of purpose. But there's a greater Boaz here than that. And that's Jesus. As I said last Sunday, for every person in this building that's lost, He has intentionally dropped you handfuls of grace on purpose. He has given you the Word of God, not by accident, but on purpose. He has given you the messengers of God. He's given you preachers that preach the Word of God. He's done all that on purpose so that you might come to know Him. It's told that when they dropped those handfuls on purpose, and this wasn't the only occasion that ever happened, but this is the biblical account of it. When a man that owned a field would drop someone and show grace to them, they'd take it to the four corners of that field. And they did that so that every direction they went, they couldn't get outside of their kindness. They could not escape their kindness. Every corner and then in between. You see, it was given there that she might have abundance. He gave her meal. She took it from his hand. But then he said, she's going to need something later. Just drop it on purpose. Just do it because I tell you to do it. Just do it because I love her. And Jesus Christ loves us this morning with a love that's far greater than anything that we'd ever know. And He said, I want you to come because I love you. I want you to be saved. Then child of God, He says, I want you to stay right. Stay in it until harvest is ended. There's too many out there already that's casualties, fatalities. There's too many out there that's on the sideline. There's too many out there already that's not doing anything. He wants us to stay in the harvest until it's ended. Our Father, bless now, we pray. Lord, these words, this message, the Word of God, Lord, I ask You today that we might find ourselves. May we realize grace has been supplied to us. May we realize, Lord, that grace has been given to us without measure so much. And dear Lord, I pray we'd be found faithful until You come. Now, Lord, whatever the need is this morning, we pray, God, You'd help those that need to come. Help those, Lord, that are scared, maybe weak. God, may You give strength. Lord, if there's those lost this morning, may they take their eyes off of the world and off of Satan. God, may they look to You for forgiveness of sin. We'll praise You for what's accomplished in Jesus' name. Amen. Thy strength is small. Jesus paid it all to Him I owe.